happens. Hello, good evening, everybody. It is Tuesday, January the 2nd, year of our Lord, 2024. The Fakeologist Show. Yeah, we came back. We survived the transition from 2023 to 2024. And it's Tuesday, and that means it's the Lynn Ertel Show. And hi, Lynn, how you doing?
Could be better, but I shouldn't complain. I'm alive.
She could be better, shouldn't complain. I agree. Let's see if everything is streaming live at fakeologist.com/live, where you can listen to the audio stream, or you can listen to the... Well, there's Lynn. Lynn's got a screen to show us.
I was testing the screen sharing to see if it works.
Yeah, it works. What are we showing here? Lynn is showing us her screen. Let's bring it up. And, she's got some good stuff there. So Lynn is going to show... That works perfectly, Lynn. I can see it perfectly. So Lynn, we're back here. And let me just make sure we're streaming on FakoTube. Are we or are we not? Is FakoTube... No, I don't think FakoTube's working again tonight. I don't know why. So I'm not going to fix it now. I forgot to fix it earlier, so we'll just have to leave it. It's been a while since I streamed to FakoTube. I guess it's been a week. And I thought they would have fixed it, but they haven't. So we'll...
Well, FakoTube comes up for me, but... Well, let's see. Yeah, FakoTube.
Nah, it shouldn't be working. It's not working on my end, so... I don't know what happened. I hope you guys don't get bummed. Actually,
I got to check it out.
I turned the email notifications off for FakoTube because it was bombing people with 100 messages last week, and it was not because it wasn't able to connect. So I don't know exactly what was going on last week, but that's okay. We'll stick to the audio for now. Well, it says it's online here.
Yes, I know. I just looked at it.
Well, it says it's online, but it's not transmitting. So it's getting the message that we're transmitting, but it's not receiving anything. So I'm sorry. I didn't have a chance. I've got a million things I had to do. I didn't really get much time off this holidays. So unfortunately, we're going to have to work on that a separate time. I mean, I could have canceled tonight's show. Or this whole week, actually, just to catch up, because I'm not caught up at all. But that's okay. Maybe I'll catch up some other time. So any of you guys in FakoTube, you can still chat in the FakoTube. Otherwise, just go to YouTube right now. I hate to say YouTube works good, but... And Lynn is showing her screen there. Yeah, you just get the online, but nothing's happening.
Okay.
So, yeah, FakoTube people, I don't know if you can even hear, but just come on over to YouTube for now. And what a weekend we had regarding FakoTube, Fakeologist audio chats. It was really busy. And I didn't even put yesterday's show up yet because I got busy again today. That's another 14 hours. And Lynn, are you working through the New Year's Eve audio chat?
Yes, I am. And it's fantastic. You got a great, wow.
You like it?
I got it. I love it. Yeah, I do.
Oh, nice.
And I got to say this about the Aussies. Can I talk about the Aussies?
Hey, it's your show. Talk about whatever you want. I'm just hoping.
Well, aside from the fact that they managed to butcher the English language, I still love listening to them.
Yeah.
I have very warm feelings toward the Australians because...
Oh, how can you not?
Right, because I came to being a no-planer from an Australian, Gerard Holmgren.
Right.
He was the original no-planer. Did all that research up front, examining the BTS database and everything else. And now I understand he died quite a few years back.
Yeah.
I can believe that because he was a blues musician, guitar teacher.
Somebody talked to his brother. I posted that. Somebody talked to his brother, Gerard Holmgren's brother. There was an interview. I don't know who did it now.
I never heard it.
Let's search on Fakeologist because I'm sure I posted it.
I tell you what, within the first week of 9/11, there were two, well, Gerard Holmgren showed up a little bit later, but within the first year, very soon after, he was the original no-planer. And, you know, I was like really grateful because I think this guy's all the way in Australia, but he's taken the time to really look at this. He's got a great analysis. So yeah, he recruited me right away. But the other people who put up a website right away that said Americans don't believe 9/11, you've been tricked. And it was called German Engineers Question 9/11 or German Engineers Expose 9/11. They put up a website right away. And I got to, you know, I'm very bitter towards my fellow Americans. You've all heard me go on and on about that.
Yeah.
My generation, my, you know, about 9/11.
Yeah, you do.
And, you know, to rub it in with the idea that who were the first people to call out 9/11 as an inside job was were these German engineers. And then there was the French writer, Thierry Meyssan, who put out the frightening fraud that made the case for no plane at the Pentagon. And there was Gerard Holmgren, an Australian. So I had to chalk it up to this really bitter, bitter, bitter disappointment. And I expected all kinds of American academics to be coming forward and saying, come on, these were controlled demolitions. But nope, not a one of them did. Not a one of them did. And it's to the everlasting disgrace of this country. It really is. So, yeah, getting back to the Australians, I've always felt like we just get a lot of support from, we got a big following there. And so, yeah, I want to hear them talk about whatever they want to talk about. And I was intrigued by some of the recent Australian history and the role of the Governor General.
Yeah,
Esoteric was getting into.
Was that? No, that you were. Esoteric's been ill. And
no, who was I listening to?
You were listening to Ian.
Varushka?
Ian's okay. Married to Varushka.
Varushka, okay.
And Ian is an abseiler. I didn't even know what an abseiler was. Do you?
Say that again. An abseiler?
Abseiler. A-B-S-E-I-L. And you can type that in. But that's someone who suspends themselves from ropes.
Oh, like window washers or
That's
guys cool. That work on high beam. I mean, in other words, you work from heights.
Yeah.
Right. So he's got to have pretty good upper body strength, I would think. I mean, he's rappelling up and down. he's rappelling up and down on ropes, probably. So you got to have pretty good upper body strength to do that. So that's what he does. It sounds kind of dangerous to me.
Well, we were talking about that because he was getting back to me that he's agreed with something I said, that nobody on the 93rd floor of any building would willingly jump off it. There's just no way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I was just looking at.
And he says he's been up that high. So I've never been that up that high hanging off a building, but he has. And that was the whole point of that.
Right. So he's seen it from from a different angle than we have. And I agree. I don't think anybody would jump. I don't think anybody would jump from a fifth floor window, you know, in an office building. No way.
Yeah. Now, if the place was on fire, yeah, there's different things to consider. But still, I'm going to put a link to Gerard Holmgren because, you know, people really need to take a look at the fakeologist.com blog. It goes back 10 years and there's so much content there. Now, this is a post I put on Gerard Holmgren, and there's a video, but it's not there anymore, and I don't know what it was about.
He didn't like Judy Wood at all. Tell
Jim Ravioli.
Jim was such a disappointment to me. Listening to him I thought, how could fake Nukes Phil have hooked up with this guy? Was a big disappointment listening to him. I mean, he was off the wall totally, really.
But you know what? He is still talking about it on his BitChute channel, and I'm still listening. I do like Jim. I don't know why. You know, he seems like a genuine guy, but he's so wrong about so much. It's ridiculous. So
right now, I don't know that every photograph in Judy Wood's book is fake.
Yeah.
There might be one or two that aren't. I mean, a lot of pictures were taken the day after, a week after, 2 weeks after. We don't know. You know, you'd have to go through every one of those images and have them sourced and vetted before they could be admitted as evidence in court. On the other hand, we've got the PBS Frontline show where Larry Silverstein, the landlord, is right there on camera saying, we had so much death, blah, blah, blah. We decided to pull it. And we step back and we said, pull it. We watched the building go down or whatever his words are. And then they show the iconic clip of WTC7, the Salomon Brothers building, 47 stories, goes straight down in its own footprint and what looks like a perfect controlled demolition. I don't know whether that video is fake or real. All I know is that would be one of the first pieces of evidence we would introduce of criminality on the part of the landlords and foreknowledge.
Behavior. So.
Okay, I'm just playing.
Our youth, the war in Vietnam was, of course.
Now, this is an interview with Raleigh Quaid, who used to be on the Fakeologist News Network here. He was on our Discord for a long time. He did an interview with David Holmgren, the late Gerard Holmgren's brother. So this is pretty good. I'm going to put this on FakeO2 because this was on my old video platform from WordPress, Fault Press, and I stopped paying for that, and now I can't get at it, so I'll have to re-up it here. So this is a pretty good interview by Raleigh Quaid. So you might be interested in that, Lynn. I'm going to put it on FakeOTube, and you can listen to it later. Worth a listen, because you're one of the few people that even know who Gerard Holmgren is, because you go way back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I knew them all. In the case of Judy Wood, I don't know. You want to hear about my encounter with Judy Wood?
Of course, because you know what? And Jim Rizzoli is in love with Judy Wood.
Oh, first of all, she's a terrible teacher. She got very low ratings from the students. I guess it was Virginia Tech. Her degree is from Virginia Tech.
And she was involved in the Virginia Tech
shooting. That's what I wanted to know, what her role was in that Virginia Tech shooting incident.
Yes, yes. You talked about that.
But the way this played out was 2005, 2006. The no planers were very active. We were putting up websites, and I got to know Rosalie Grable, who was out in Chicago. She put up a site, one of the first TV fakery sites, that showed the Fairbanks and other fake video. She also had a breakdown of the Naudet video, which, if you look at the Naudet video, it doesn't even look like a plane. It looks like some kind of UAV, really, because it moves vertically. But we didn't know what that was, but we knew that the Naudet brothers was a setup. So anyway, I said to Rosalie Grable, I said, you know, there's a week of like anti-war demonstrations taking place down the road from me in Washington, D.C. And Morgan Reynolds is going to be down here speaking to the National Press Club. Morgan Reynolds had just within the last 3 months gone on Fox and said that image of Flight 175 entering the South Tower was computer-generated imagery. He said it right out. You can play that interview if you like. It's probably still out there on YouTube.
I'm gonna play that. Morgan Reynolds on Fox. As you talk, I always am searching. So let's see. Let's see if that's on there. There are very few people that made it onto mainstream media talking about 9/11, period.
Right. Jim Fetzer was one. Jim Fetzer was one, but I thought Morgan Reynolds gave a very good presentation, even though they shut him down.
Morgan Reynolds on Fox News.
That's the one. That's the only time they've ever let him on there. They'd never let him on there again.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. I might have to go to BitChute for that. I don't see it.
That's ridiculous. That should be on YouTube. I've watched it on YouTube.
Well, I don't see it, so here it is here. On BitChute.
The 9/11 conspiracy theories just won't go away. In fact, this week's Time magazine spends a good deal of ink talking about the latest theories. Professor Morgan Reynolds says he has proven the government's explanation of the terror attacks is a lie. He teaches economics at Texas A&M University and is a member of the group called Scholars for the Truth. Professor Reynolds says 9/11 was an inside job, and he joins us here from New York. Well, Professor, I got to tell you, I covered 9/11, at least here in Washington, D.C. I think I have a pretty good understanding of what happened on that day. What do you know that I don't know and that the rest of America apparently doesn't know?
The government has never even tried to prove it's a OBL story. It's a fiction. The 9/11 Commission never tried to prove it. You cannot prove a lie. There's your problem. There's so many things wrong with the 9/11 fiction. the myth, the official government conspiracy.
Well, you say, for example, that there were no planes that hit the World Trade Center. Is that your contention?
No, what I say is that there were no big Boeing crashes at every all four events. There's no significant wreckage, for example.
Well, did you see the videotape that the rest of us saw?
Sure. And I encourage everybody to do a frame by frame penetration of the South Tower. And what you will see is a fake, a cartoon display, because an aluminum plane cannot go through a building like the South Tower was, as if it were thin air.
So you're saying right through. You're suggesting that there's some kind of cartoon animation there. You're suggesting that the news media was a part of this.
Yes,
those pictures
I am.
Came from the news media.
Yes. Well, there was only one so-called real-time film, and we don't really understand how they did that. There are video experts in the disbeliever movement. But most of those were subsequent tapes, and they are contrived.
And
yes,
you believe that the missing planes were shot down by missiles?
No. Well, of course, we don't understand everything about the crime. The two American airliner flights, for example, though, were not even in the Bureau of Transportation Statistics database.
Where do you think they are now?
What's that?
That came from Holmgren, what he just said, that the fact that Flight 77 and Flight 11 didn't even exist. They didn't take off. They didn't land. They didn't exist on the BTS database, which is updated in real time.
And Fetzer made that into a mantra. Did he not?
Did he? Okay. Yeah,
oh, you know it, because every time he says it, he's like a wind-up doll when it comes to Kennedy and 9/11. And for sure he said that. Did you watch the conference with Fetzer that he just had on false flags and conspiracy? It was actually pretty good.
No, I'll have to watch it. I you know, Fetzer kind of wears me out.
I spent
a lot of time.
Me too.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I could do a whole critical evaluation of the history of Fetzer and Judy Wood, if you'd like. And
I would, because Jim really needs to hear that. He really needs to. Sorry, Jim Rizzoli. Yeah. I'm sorry, Jim Rizzoli. See, Jim Rizzoli has got me reinvigorated, because he's talking about this day in and day out now on his little show. He has a pretty good little show. I'm enjoying it. And if you want, I'll put a link to Jim's channel. But he's talking about me and the fakeologist, because he was on last Thursday with Frank and I. We weren't going to do a show, but Frank just said, let's do a show.
I listened to the whole thing, yeah.
And then I brought Jim on. That was at the last minute. So Jim,
I have to give Frank props, Frank the Salt Guy,
yeah,
for his infinite patience and tolerance, because I think I would have lost it myself.
Jim Rizzoli was losing it.
Right.
He was losing it big time. Yeah, if you lost your temper with Jim, that would have been funny. But I'm at fakeologist.blog. I'm posting as Jim does his show. He does a walk and talk every day with his girlfriend down there in Texas, and he mentions this almost every show now. So it's pretty good. And I point out Jim Rizzoli's hypocrisy. He's such a hypocrite when it comes to his way of looking at things. It's not even funny.
Yeah, the business about, oh, did Fetzer threaten Judy Wood? The fact of the matter is, put Judy Wood on the map. I'm going to say that again so your audience understands.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about 2006, 2007. That's how long ago this was. Jim Fetzer, who had a show on RBN called, right, I think he still was calling it,
The Raw Deal?
The Real Deal.
The Real Deal.
The Real Deal.
The Dynamic Duo with Jim Fetzer.
The Dynamic
Fetzer
Duo was on there too.
Kevin,
right,
Barrett, yeah.
But this was without Kevin Barrett. This was a show he had by himself.
Okay.
It was the very first real public presentation of Judy Wood to the truth community. And I was very mistrustful of Fetzer for the following reasons. One, he was not a no-planer at that point. He was saying they were controlled demolitions and an inside job, but he was not a no-planer, and he hadn't yet understood the TV fakery. even though it had probably been presented to him, but he hadn't taken the time to look at it, which was inexcusable, I thought, for a professor with his credentials. But at a certain point, he started this group called Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which outraged me. It really outraged me. Because 9/11 Truth ain't rocket science. It ain't effing rocket science, and it never was. And it's just like this Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, which propagates the idea that somehow you need specialized credentials or academic degrees to certify that these were controlled demolitions and that the story we're given is fake. And that's in effect what Fetzer was doing. He was saying, oh, we're going to get scholars, which is credentialed professors with PhDs, to prove to people that it was a controlled demolition. And from my standpoint, the fact of controlled demolition of the towers and Building 7 was what I call a self-evident truth.
Yeah.
Some truths are arguable and debatable. Other truths are self-evident to a greater or lesser degree. I know a controlled demolition when I see one, even if it's a fake video or a cartoon of a controlled demolition. I know what a controlled demolition looks like, as opposed to a building collapsing from an earthquake or a building getting hit by a missile or a bomb. I know what a perfect controlled demolition. I've seen enough of them on TV, and so is half of America. That's why it should never have been necessary for someone to start a group called Scholars or Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That's insulting.
Unless that's they were there to derail, and that's
right.
What they were
well,
for. No.
If they really knew it, you're saying intentionally and deliberately. No. These people, most of them have fat egos, and they're in love with their degrees, and they think their degrees make them better than everyone else, and people should listen to them because they got a degree. I'm saying that a fifth grader could look at those videos of Building 7 and see it's a perfect controlled demolition and could intuitively deduce that about the towers as well, that they weren't turned to rubble from crashing planes, from the fires caused by crashing planes. That's not the way basic physics works. To me, the controlled demolitions were a self-evident truth. And what particularly outraged me about Fetzer starting this group was that when I first heard that he had joined the 9/11 Truth Movement, this McKnight professor of the philosophy of history from the University of Minnesota with all kinds of degrees and credentials.
Man, you sure can remember all that. Oh, that's amazing.
And I'll tell you what I remember amazing. The most.
Yeah.
Way up in his resume was that he had been a captain in the Marines. The United States Marines. You don't get to be a captain in the United States Marines. That's halfway towards making a career. You understand?
Yeah.
He didn't leave the Marines as a private or a sergeant or a lieutenant. He left as a captain. It means he was commanding men. I thought if Fetzer had an ounce of integrity or rage about what had happened, authentic rage, he should have started a Marines for 9/11 Truth. Am I wrong? And that was a much greater priority than a Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which sounds really candy-ass to me. Oh, you need a degree to have some. You need somebody with a degree to say, oh, was that really a controlled demolition? I couldn't tell. I'm sure glad we got a professor here to certify that it was a controlled demolition.
Well, let me see if I can find that.
Welcome back to the second day of our False Flag and Conspiracies Conference 2023. Let me remind you of our sponsors. We have Revolution Radio, Speak Free Radio, Republic Broadcasting Network, Moonrock Books, Real Deal Media, and Radio, hosted by in different ways. Let me take us back to that tragic and fateful day. This is from the...
He's reinforcing it was a tragedy. See, that's the thing he'll never admit, that nobody died, nobody got hurt. So anything after that doesn't really matter to the controllers. don't you think?
Well, you know, I don't like this. Nobody died.
Okay.
Because if, that means if one person had a heart attack, if one fireman had a heart attack, somebody died. I mean, it's
Nobody died. Yeah,
they did evacuate. Yeah. They probably evacuated the buildings first.
Sure. And they were empty anyway, but there's one,
the restaurant at the top was not empty.
I think that that day it was because they were doing a drill. Nobody could get in. And it opened, it opened later, yeah, maybe that 9 o'clock, was, right? Yeah, that day. Let me
maybe
just see
Brussels
if I can find
website,
it.
But it's going to give you an eerie feeling of having been there, deja vu all over again.
Who's Mae Brussels?
Oh, Mae Brussels did a whole lot of research around the Symbionese Liberation Army.
Okay, I never heard of her. Okay.
Well, I'm you never heard of her because you've never been, you haven't been in this kind of movement.
No,
for the
no,
last
I never
30
heard of
her. 40 years, you know. So.
No, I have not. Okay.
Right, but anybody who's into false flag operations, like the Symbionese Liberation Army, which was a joint operation between the CIA, the FBI, and the LAPD, and the California State Police. To set up a fake organization at a Vacaville State Medical Facility, a prison, and set it up as a radical group. And, you know, the Patty Hearst kidnapping, all that stuff. That's where Mae Brussels comes out of, writing about that and exposing it. So that's who she was. But I got to say about Fetzer. We had just begun to get him to look at the no planes evidence, but he hadn't really come around yet. And he invited Judy Wood onto his show.
She's a no-planer.
Well, she's not very vocal about it, is she?
No, I'm asking. Is she? I don't even know.
Well, that's the point I made. She's never said a fucking word about it.
Okay, so she probably isn't then, I guess.
Well, maybe she is, but she's too opportunist and manipulative and dishonest to talk about the TV fakery. And her degree is in mechanical engineering.
Yeah.
Materials science.
You can't get any better than that when it comes to.
That's right.
Yeah.
And let me give you the history of this.
Okay.
I found out that these we had a week's worth of anti-war demonstration. We just invaded Iraq. All these demonstrations were happening down in Washington, D.C. I was involved with a 9/11 truth group of 9/11 truth activists up here. And our imperative was to get down to Washington, D.C. and be there on the Mall for these anti-war activities to raise the issue of 9/11. Right. That it was an inside job. And also that same weekend, Morgan Reynolds and Judy Wood were giving a presentation to the National Press Club. She involved, a dinner at the National Press Club. And then, you know what, a presentation at the National Press Club. It's a public event. And I was involved because of Morgan Reynolds.
All right.
Because I had seen Morgan Reynolds on Fox. He had joined with us no-planers. He was pretty much a no-planer. He was calling out the TV faker. I don't know what else he could have said. He called it a cartoon. And that was in what year? 2006? 2005?
Right.
What year was that interview on Fox? It wasn't yesterday.
2006.
You know. Right.
You want me to play the rest?
Well, he goes on. Go ahead. Go ahead. Play it out.
Okay. If I can. Let's see. Is it frozen? What's going on here? Oh, I was playing it on BitChute. That's why. Wait. Let me reload it here. It's a pretty good interview, really.
Excellent interview. He said just about everything you could say.
Yeah,
and let me tell you, Morgan Reynolds was a fairly impressive figure. He was a deputy, I guess he was an official in the Bush administration, in the Department of Labor, I think. And then he was a professor at Texas A&M. He was a member of something called the Mont Pelerin Society, which is a group of mostly European economists and historians and scholars, pretty much devoted to what we'd call Austrian economics. The writings of von Mises and Friedrich Hayek, free market guys. And so Morgan Reynolds was no lightweight. He had a lot of prestige, a lot of academic credential behind him. And here he was saying it was fake. So I thought, well, we ought to be down there in D.C. to support him at this presentation he's going to give at the National Press Club. And we did. We drove down there, Rosalie Grable and I. We got a hotel room. And right away we went out. The weather was beautiful. It was September. We went out and started, you know, handing out material. I had DVDs at the time, all kinds of 9/11 material to people at the anti-war march.
Right.
Most of whom were ignorant as hell about 9/11. And it was shocking to me how we were the only ones there at these anti-war demonstrations, even mentioning 9/11. And then later the march went all the way around the mall and around the Capitol, did a complete circle. And I had a sign that said 9/11 was an inside job. And I was in that crowd pushing that sign up and down so the cameras would catch it. And actually, one of the cameras that later did a news report on that march happened to show my sign. But what stunned me was that there was no one else there saying anything about 9/11.
Wow.
You know, imagine how demoralized it made me feel. As to the event at the National Press Club, Morgan Reynolds spoke, and he made essentially all the same points that he made in that interview on Fox. And then Judy Wood got up to talk. And Judy Wood presented her thesis, where she never comes out and says, oh, they use these mysterious exotic weapons to take down the towers. She never says that outright. She says they were dustified. They were turned to dust in midair.
Yeah, she never says what it was. You're right.
Right, right.
She leaves it to your imagination.
It's very, it's really dishonest what she does. And I can easily understand why students who took her course at, I guess it was at Virginia Tech, where she was a teaching assistant, maybe. I don't know what her rank was there. But I always, you know, almost from the beginning, I had a very uneasy feeling because I said, why isn't she backing up Morgan Reynolds on this? She's got a degree in mechanical engineering. She should be calling out the Fairbanks video and the Hezarkhani video is fake. That's really more important than figuring out how they took down the towers. It was a controlled demolition. Who knows what technology they use, what modality? That's not the point, is it? The idea was it was a controlled demolition. It was engineered. And we have evidence for that. And we should be presenting the evidence for the role of the media and TV fakery, as Morgan Reynolds had. But Judy Wood would never do that. And I spent, I guess, a good part of that day and the following day, because basically I had a vehicle, and one of the things we were doing was helping to drive people around to the various locations, you know, to the National Press Club and other places where these events were taking place. So I got to hang around, and I really liked Morgan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I thought he was spot on. We had a lot of discussion about American history, a lot of things. But Judy Wood struck me as inarticulate, neurotic, kind of embarrassing, and really with not very much to say. Then subsequently, I came to find out that she had really hooked up with this John Hutchinson.
Yes.
Who had, you know, 0 point energy. And you know, it's just like Mike Rupert with the peak oil, see? And I'm convinced that Mike Rupert was, basically, he was sort of blackmailed by the Zionists, because Mike Rupert he put a book out called Crossing the Rubicon. And one of the things that Crossing the Rubicon presented was all these drills that were going on 9/11. And as a consequence, somehow he got an invitation to address the very prestigious Commonwealth Club of San Francisco, which is probably up there with the Bohemian Club. It's on a same level with the Bohemian Club. The Commonwealth Club of San Francisco. Rupert was already well known because he had gotten involved in the CIA crack cocaine scandal that erupted in the 90s. And he had been a big part of that because he claimed to have been part of the LAPD at one point and seen the corruption behind this laundering of crack money to finance the Contras in Nicaragua. But what did Rupert do? He got up in front of the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco and said almost nothing about 9/11, except for the fact that the reason why they did it was because of peak oil. We're running out of oil. Peak oil, peak oil, which is Dick Cheney's mantra.
Right.
Peak oil was a meme that came out of the International Petroleum Institute and Dick Cheney. And I came to realize very quickly that Rupert didn't give a flying rat's ass about 9/11. It was nothing but a hobby horse for him to ride so he could pursue his true agenda, which was peak oil. And that's just to me that he was bought off, co-opted, compromised, blackmailed, who knows. Now, I later had occasion to watch him dead drunk on more than one occasion. He was an alcoholic. The claim is he drank himself to death down here in Venezuela. I don't know. But I had a similar feeling about Judy Wood. She really doesn't give a flying rat's ass about truth or justice for 9/11. She wants to ride her woo-woo exotic weapons. Wow, look at that.
Oh, you're funny.
All the way to the bank. That's all she wants to do. She doesn't give a damn about 9/11. And 9/11 is just an excuse for her to create a kind of career for herself. Sell her book. All that crap. She was really hawking her book. And she's demonstrated that over and over and over again. So to whether she's compromised or not, I'd like to look at her role during the Virginia Tech shooting and whether she was deployed as an asset to back up that narrative. For one thing, I'd like to know about that. But no one needs to convince me that Judy Wood is what we call a shill. She's a shill. Someone who's in your movement, pretending to care about what you care about, but really pursuing her own selfish, opportunist agenda, and very dishonest, very dishonest. And let me tell you what Fetzer did. Fetzer brought her on his show almost about the same exact time. Might have been right around the same time of her appearance. That might have been the situation that made her famous enough that she managed to get that invitation to address the National Press Club, which was a big deal to us at the time. Fetzer brought her on, introduced her. And in the course of her presentation, I thought Fetzer was going to have an orgasm on the air. You can play that clip. You can play that original clip from RBN where he goes on. And
where
on
is that? I wanted to find that.
Oh, Judy. Yeah. Oh, Judy. This is fascinating. That's his word. Fascinating.
That's how
fascinating.
He talks. That's how he talks.
Yeah, he got so excited. So you think these were hit by... He's the one that started that space beam shit.
It was.
He said, you Fetzer? Think they... Yeah, Fetzer was the first one to set it up like from satellites, Judy. Do you think possibly these things were guided, were fired or guided from satellites? That was his idea. Satellite-directed energy weapons. And he didn't have to do it that way. He could have interviewed her and said, so he could have been very calm. Because so Judy, essentially your thesis is they use some kind of exotic, classified technology to take down the towers. And are you suggesting that these might have been satellite? He could have said it in a different way, but you could hear in his voice, he fell in love with the idea. And he kept using that word, fascinating, fascinating. And it really made me sick because I kept thinking, so that's what you're out here to do, to get all the woo-woo out of it. Oh, let's step back and do the woo-woo. Let's do the sci-fi fantasy because we're not really angry about the inside job, see? You know what this reminds me of? Can I digress a little bit?
Go ahead.
You ever seen the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Steven Spielberg, one of his first big hits.
Yeah.
Close Encounters of a Third Kind. About the staging of an alien landing out in the middle of the Arizona or New Mexico desert, somewhere out there. Wherever the Devil's Tower is. Where's the Devil's Tower? That iconic. Know. Yeah, it might be in Wyoming. I don't know where it is, but. Close Encounters of the Third Kind with this really annoying actor, Richard Dreyfuss. I can't stand to watch him. But I went to the movie and I'm watching it. And all right. So what? Blah, 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 blah. And then they get to the part where they launch a biowarfare scare. they create a panic in the local neighborhood to get everybody to get in their cars and clear out so that they can create the staging ground out there in the desert for the landing of an alien craft.
Zinvala says Wyoming.
Okay, Wyoming, very
and
good.
Stupid and Stupid says you have an amazing memory. Yeah, I agree.
Let me tell you something. I hadn't really been into the movie that much. I was watching, thinking, okay, this idiot Richard Dreyfuss, he's going to make a fool out of himself. And so what? So he had an alien experience, you know, he doesn't know what happened. Really, you know, it might have been a hallucination, who knows. But a key element of the plot is they're going to get everybody to evacuate the area, to panic by claiming there's a deadly virus loose, a bioweapon or something. And I realized how easy it would be for them to do that. Look at COVID and the masks and all that.
Very easy.
Or look at the anthrax scare. Well, the first place where you ever see this done, where you ever see NASA scientists and the military using a biowarfare scare to empty an area and clear it out is in that movie, that Spielberg film, Close Encounters of a Third Kind, which I believe is based on a novel. So I don't know if I can blame Spielberg for that element of the plot. I'd like to know if it's in the novel. It probably is, but when that happened in the movie, I thought I'd start, I want to like jump up and start yelling. That's how I angry I was. Because they passed it off in the movie as if it was a good thing. Well, this is what we'd have to do if we wanted to get together with the aliens and schedule for them to land. We've got to panic people and convince them there's a deadly virus afoot and they got to evacuate. And then they'll get in their cars and they'll get the hell out, which is what happened in the film. And that plot twist. So, you know, up to that point, I hadn't really been into the movie that much. But that was the key element of the movie I took away from that film. And the fact that nobody reacted to it at all. You know, when they showed you what was happening, I started booing. I started hissing and booing right there in the movie theater. That the United States government would declare a pandemic or, I don't know, a deadly virus, so they could clear the area so the alien craft could land without anybody else seeing it. Oh, what a great idea. And I was there with family members to see the movie. And boy, they really got on me about it. Why was I taking it so serious? I said, doesn't that bother you, that very idea? That they're normalizing it. They're normalizing the idea that we can do anything we want to panic the population if we want to clear the area. So you look at East Palestine, Ohio, right?
Right, right.
Or you look at Gaza, you see what they do. Well, that's how I felt about Judy Wood and her directed energy weapon. It was nothing but a rabbit hole, a stupid distraction for people to spend their lifetime wasting your time on. And that's what's happened with otherwise originally probably decent researchers like Andrew Johnson, or you mentioned Richard Hall.
Yeah.
People who know better, Here was my argument. I don't know what they used to take down the towers. They might have taken out all the toys in the attic. They might have used space beams. I don't know, but that's not the point. The point is whatever modality they use, whether they use nukes, whether they use thermite or thermobarics, or, I don't know, space beams from the moon. One way or another, these were engineered controlled demolition. So it doesn't matter how they took the buildings down. And the media collaborated. Just as Morgan Reynolds said in that interview on Fox, the media was in on it. Those are the important points to make. And everything that Judy Wood was doing was to draw you far away from that. Far away from that. Because really, who gives a flying rat's ass what the details were of that controlled demolition? I mean, yeah, you'd have to arrest them and take them to, you'd have to take those guys down to Gitmo and interrogate them to find out. Now, you got one of them, you got Mark Lozio in an interview,
Lozio,
right?
Lozio,
is that his name?
Loiseau,
right. That should be one of the first places we go looking at CDI, if any of them are still alive. I imagine most of them are still alive.
Or Mark Loiseau. Mark Loiseau was just in Toronto doing a conference on controlled demolition. And he said some things that I wanted to bring up with you that it would only mean something to you. Not many other people are smart enough to figure it out. But what Mark Loiseau was saying at this conference was, without the government backing up the whole insurance aspect of a controlled demolition, we can't afford to demolish buildings because we get so many spurious lawsuits saying that we damaged this down the street or down the block.
I thought nobody died, nobody got hurt, nobody lost their apartment, nobody lost their home, nobody lost their job, nobody lost their business. I thought it was a hoax, and nobody suffered.
No, but what he was saying was, in the future, the controlled demolition business cannot go further because of all the lawsuits over if they do illegal controlled demolition. That's what I'm trying to say. He says we need government, some kind of laws restricting our liability because we can't get insurance because there's so many lawsuits say that there's a cracked pipe down the street from a building. Well,
That's the big pharma model for vaccines, isn't it?
That's right. So that's what he's saying. He's saying the controlled demolition business is done right now. And
come on. They're still doing controlled demolitions in Vegas, aren't they?
I don't know, but we had a big hotel here in Toronto, and I noticed, I thought it was going to get I called the company up. I says, why don't you guys do a controlled demolition of this building? Because it was maybe 20 stories. And then I said, why doesn't Toronto have any controlled demolitions? I've never seen one ever. And he said, it's just because of the liability. We can't guarantee we're not going to cause damage in and around the area. And I'm talking infrastructure damage, like pipes and sewers and hydro. So they take it down one floor at a time.
The one they did down in Florida, that was a controlled demolition, but they had to conceal it and lie about it. Is that right? And say it was spontaneous.
Yes, because it's of insurance, because they're going to get their asses sued off. And, you know, sometimes I think, okay, we all think, or I think in this community, or I think that the 9/11 World Trade Center towers were built to be destroyed. But on the other hand, say they were not. Say they were genuinely trying to add some office space and make these exclusive towers. And maybe if they decided to take them down and redo them like they are doing now, maybe the insurance was basically saying what Mark Loiseau was saying. There's no way they can bring these towers down without any kind of liability protection because there's just too much infrastructure in Lower Manhattan in the area, and they would be sued out of existence because of this. So they needed some kind of government protection, and then so maybe they said, well, if we make it seem like terrorists do it, then you've got exclusive access to taxpayers' money. We can pay off anyone and everyone in around the area to fix their stuff. If anything,
and let me tell you who knows that. Let me tell you who knows that.
What do you think of that? I thought
by
that
now
great.
All the first responders know that, the ones that are still alive, and there are plenty. The firemen know it, and their union knows it. The cops know it. The Port Authority staff knows it. The construction workers in New York City knew it too. Everybody knew it. If they didn't know it in the first week, in the first month, in the first year, they certainly know it by now, don't they?
Yeah.
But it's because they're whores. They're prostitutes. They're paid off.
But what do you think of that theory that Mark Loiseau is basically spilling the beans? And he just did it this year. I thought that was brilliant. That they need protection, government protection from liability because they can't buy insurance. They can't buy enough insurance to be sued.
And here's what'll happen. Here's what'll happen.
Same as the drug companies.
Same as the drug companies. Complete immunity from any liability for any unintended consequences.
That's what he was saying. He said otherwise the controlled demolition business is over in America.
Because here's the one thing.
Because of lawsuits, because of lawyers and legal and all that.
Here's the one thing that made Judy Wood.
Comes down to business.
Right. And that might have made Judy Wood's argument credible. And that's the subways underneath the World Trade Center.
Right. There was one subway line that had a station there.
Right. But the thing is, there's a whole underground complex there. And if you weren't careful about how you demolish them, the big issue would be the flooding.
The bathtub.
Of that bathtub. Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
So obviously that had to be taken into account for this, for setting up the demolition. It would be a tricky business. And there probably would be some collateral damage that you might, you know, I understand there was some, a little bit of flooding in some parts of the subway. Of course, the New York City subways do flood from time to time.
A big dig, the tunnel they built under Boston flooded right away.
Right.
And they were blaming that on cement that they were using.
But imagine you had one of those
old cement.
Imagine you had one of those overpriced high fashion shops right there in the underground, the World Trade Center, in that shopping area underground, and it got damaged or you lost merchandise and you'd be suing.
Everyone's suing. What if your sewer cracked halfway down the halfway up Manhattan? Okay, yeah. and your base in the mall underneath floods. That's what Mark Loiseau was saying. And the way they did it, so if the government calls this terrorism, that gives them complete access to government funny money to pay off anyone with a problem and with the demolition of these towers.
What does that tell us about the future? What's going to happen? Now, that's why I question. You say they've stopped doing controlled demolitions.
Well, in Toronto, they've never done controlled demolitions. And like I said,
Las Vegas, they have them like every other week, right? I mean, they'll take a hotel down in a week and put up a new one in Vegas. So what are they going to do in a place like Vegas, which is very corrupt?
I don't know. If we go to CDI, the Loiseau Group, I haven't seen any recent demolitions. Maybe in Vegas.
Of course, taking down a Vegas hotel or casino, it's not the same thing as taking down a skyscraper in the middle of, say, New York City.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of these recent ones, they take down a lot of power stations where there's no real infrastructure around. They're knocking down a lot of smokestacks. This one here, this Paul M. Bass complex, this is from a long time ago, I think. Or maybe not. I love watching these things. This was done... Okay, this was this year.
Well, I don't know. You better send it over to Clues for them and have them certify that it's real video and not fake.
This was actually this year, apparently. This is, but yeah. So, okay. They actually blew this sucker down in Texas. But it's sort of a suburban area where you probably don't have the same concentration of infrastructure.
Right. But if they have to do it in a populated, densely populated area, then what you're saying is the model, the paradigm for the future is make it a fire, make it a terrorist attack.
Yeah, yeah.
And make maybe it a tornado. Hey, make it a tornado. Make it an earthquake.
And maybe that's what happened with the one in Florida, because there was a lot of nonsense going around that one.
Actually, I heard that this is reported that the garage of that building, was that called the, what the hell? It was right on the tip of my tongue, the name of that condominium.
Yeah.
Something Shores, or I forget, Shores.
Something
whatever.
Sunrise or something. Sunshine.
Yes, Sunrise Shores or something. But they said that this was a very upscale place.
Right.
And a lot of the people there owned Teslas.
Oh,
and God. The Teslas in the basement garage caught fire. And that became a real problem. One of the major issues.
Everyone's obsessed with Tesla fires.
Well, they said that these Tesla fires burned for like weeks, who knows, months.
No,
actually, right now, they're apparently there's a ship. Was it a ship that was carrying lithium battery or something? There's a firefight going. Something has burned for months. They're saying, I think it's a ship that was carrying.
That's an old story. I've heard that too. Listen, Hyundai's. The one of the cheaper cars are the Kias, Hyundai's poorer sister. These things are catching fire all over the place, and they're gas.
Do they have
cars.
Lithium batteries?
No, these are gas cars. These are
I'm talking about something that burns for months.
I know, but first of all, the fire departments have foam. It does put out electrical battery fire. So it's, I at the beginning, I have a couple of the, I have a hybrid car with a battery, and it did freak me out because at the beginning, there were a couple houses that burned down when they parked it in the garage. So that did freak me out a little bit. But I think a lot of these vehicles were shorting. There was just some kind of short. So the circuit wasn't disconnected by the computer.
But and do you carry a fire extinguisher in your vehicle?
I actually bought a fireball.
Okay.
Have you seen these on YouTube? It's a fireball. Yeah. You can throw these balls, which I guess are full of some kind of chemical powder, into a fire, and it explodes and it puts the fire out. And the other thing I bought for my kitchen is a fire blanket. You ever heard of one of these?
Yeah, I've seen it used in a YouTube video.
Yeah, me too. It was on Facebook. That's why I bought it. I bought it off Amazon for $10.
But yeah.
It's a great idea. If you have a kitchen grease fire, instead of wrecking the place with a fire extinguisher, you just throw one of these fire blankets on it and smothers
it. Deprive it of oxygen.
It's like if
someone's on the rolling on the ground on fire, you basically throw a blanket over them, you throw your jacket over them, and you put the fire out. Yeah. But anyway,
by the way, FACOTube.com is now working. So I got it going while we were talking. So thanks for everyone's patience. Anyone in the FACOTube chat, just say hi if it's working. And there you go. We do repairs on the fly. So thanks to Armin Rigg and Unknown User. Unknown User always confuses me. Well, we'd be going about an hour, Lynn. We never have problems filling an hour with Lynn. There were no planes, says it was Surfside. Surfside.
Yeah, Surfside. Thank you. Very unusual. And there again, I wonder how many of the videos we saw from that are completely fake. They look fake to me, but how would I know?
Well,
it looked like a botched demolition, right? Like half of the building went down and half of it still stood up, right?
And we've seen many of those, not necessarily by CDI, but there are. If you go on YouTube and just look up failed demolition, I'll do that now. It's not easy to get it right. And I'm not saying that here's 15 that went wrong. I mean,
old structures and buildings are sometimes demolished to make way for new construction.
I mean,
projects.
These things are great.
Out with the old and in with the new. But sometimes these demolitions go wrong. Sometimes they mess up. Here are the top 15 structure demolitions gone wrong.
That's good.
Number 15. Ohio Edison Mad River Power Plant.
Mad River. That's got to be Vermont. Mad
River. No, Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
The 20-megawatt steam turbine that was driven by the burning of coal, and after subsequent upgrades, was responsible for providing at least a third of the town's power needs. Following concerns about the pollution it emitted, however, the plant was finally closed.
I wonder if CDI is involved with any of the failed ones, because they've always been considered, in my mind, the pinnacle. There are other plants. There are other consultants, I would think. Well, let's look at this one. This one's more.
Angle. According to locals, workers had purposely used fewer explosives than they normally would have done to prevent any damage occurring to nearby buildings.
So what a headache when it just does that.
The structure didn't fully fall.
Yeah.
And while the strange leaning block became a famous sight.
Which brings us to another point.
Finally, yeah.
The cleanup. The 9/11 cleanup.
Right.
Obviously, they would have had to complete. There probably might have been smaller follow-up demolitions to help clear what was left, right?
I don't know. I think the
purpose, not always complete.
The purpose of the demolition, and this is what I got from Mark Loiseau, is to bring everything down to a level where they can use their equipment to grab it and break it apart. That's the whole point. Otherwise, you got to take one of these front-end loaders and crane it up to the top floor, and it just sort of chews away from top to bottom. And
what does that say?
But he was also saying, he said some of the hydraulic reaches now, they go up 200 feet. That's what's going on now. So they can pick away at buildings from the ground. But the demolition is to bring it down to a level that they can get rid of it. As opposed,
so what do you suppose Mark Loiseau, whatever.
Yeah.
My French is not very good.
Yeah.
What do you suppose he would say about that infamous clip of Larry Silverstein on PBS Frontline saying we'd seen so much death that we told him to pull it,
pull it, yeah,
pull it, pull it, pull it. And I'm convinced that, well, I suspect, I shouldn't say I'm convinced, I suspect that waiting till 5:30 that evening to take down Building 7 was, I don't think that was in the original plan.
I do. I really don't. I do, because I still am a big fan of Simon Shack. And he said that building had the smoke machines for the city. So the whole point was to obscure the whole area.
Until 5:30 in the evening?
Yes, because they needed probably all day to work behind the smoke screen on the World Trade Center buildings, whatever they were doing. So maybe you're right. Maybe they were doing more demolition once they were halfway down. We don't know. We don't know what happened.
We don't. But if we drag Larry Silverstein into court on criminal charges because he was the landlord,
it's not going to happen.
wait a minute. There is a court of public opinion.
Yeah.
And that is already judging Larry Silverstein.
I think he's been away scot-free. He's got away scot-free. The tallest demolitions in the world. Wow. This
but
is
the implication of what he said is
high rise attracts a lot of attention.
That they had to go back and do additional demolitions afterwards. That's what Pullet means. And that means when he says Pullet, he's implying that the Salomon Brothers building was already rigged for demolition.
Our first tower was located on South.
Anyway, here's another one. Tallest building demolitions in the world. So I'll put a link to these. These are always fun to watch. Of course, they won't have the Twin Towers in here. 75 feet tall before it fell in 2009. The building was supposed to include luxury condominiums. Yeah, it's pretty it's a very fascinating business. And like I said, you should watch for clues.
Fascinating business. It sounds like warfare to me.
Yeah. Well, Mark Loiseau was also his main customer, I think, was the military. So he's going to work closely with the military. And here's Mark Loiseau here on the World Trade Center. And that was in the BBC documentary that Jim Rizzoli was so fascinated with. And
he said he never cared much about 9/11.
Well, he still doesn't think it's important. He thinks the only thing important was
the free energy. Oh, the free energy and the woo-woo. Right.
All he cares about is the Holocaust. He says, if you understand that.
Well, that's 100 years. That's, come on, that's like almost 80 years ago.
Yeah, but he said it's the only thing that matters.
Well, see.
Oh, here you go. Here's what, can I play this? Mark Loiseau. Let me play this. This is what I posted that nobody has really commented or cares about. I'll just play this if it works. Come on, work. Let me just refresh the page. Hold on a sec. This is the Surfside condo collapse. And Mark was speaking. I didn't even know Mark was in the BBC documentary from way back when. Did you know that?
Which BBC documentary?
It was on World Trade Tower 7. The BBC did a documentary trying to explain away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was.
And he went on there and he backed up their lies. Is that what he did? This guy? Criminal?
Yes, yes.
See, that just shows you how rotten to the core. I mean, think about that. People say, how could they get away with it? Everybody would have to be in on it. Well, everybody was in on it. Everybody was in on it. Except for Morgan Reynolds. you know.
I'm having trouble playing all this stuff today. I don't know what's going on. Let me just try and bring it over here to this screen and see what's going on. Maybe my Brave browser is going for a dump again. Just give me a sec here. Let's see if I can play it. Let's see where I saved it. No, it doesn't want to play. Okay. Mark Loiseau stuns audience with his honest remarks on litigation. Okay, let me look on YouTube. Mark Loiseau stuns. It's not playing today. Stuns audience.
That's like RFK Jr. stuns audience with remarks on vaccine, on Big Pharma's immunity from any liability if people get sick or die from their vaccines. It's the same thing. So let's stun an audience with the fact that, oh, by the way,
eventually, child.
Yeah, here, let me play it here. I don't know why it's not playing on FACO2, but hold on.
And despite this beautiful equipment that is reaching higher and higher above grade with the high reaches now getting up over 200 feet. Eventually, they're not going to get any higher, and something's got to get those structures down. Where explosives can do it, explosives is a good choice if the structure has enough room around it to accommodate the volume of debris that's being generated by felling the structure, and if the nature of the surrounding community can tolerate an explosives demolition operation. I mentioned differential type of construction. I mentioned post-tensioning, unbonded tenon specifically. Once again, that is a type of construction where if you can't use an explosives approach, it is going to cost your client considerably more money, and it's going to increase the risk to your workers and the public, because risk is associated with duration of exposure to something that can hurt you. And post-tensioning construction, because it is so responsive, I love it, because it's got energy built into the tenons that I can use, but it is not your friend from a conventional demolition standpoint. So we look at different structures that lend themselves to explosives for different reasons in different circumstances and say, how is this going to continue in our culture, in our society, as we get more and different types of construction that haven't been demolished before? This industry is going to innovate ways to handle it. Just like,
to see if I get, I think I missed it.
You're going to have emergency jobs, but where an emergency job comes up, you're going to have latitude to protect yourself from litigation, as I just mentioned. You're going to have structures that you just can't reach with your equipment, despite this beautiful equipment that is reaching higher and higher.
Sorry.
Immunity against lawsuit.
So here it is. Hold on.
Demolition continuing. While I see there always being a need for emergency work, such as the one that was mentioned earlier, we were flattered when our work at the Champlain Towers that we performed for Governor DeSantis in Florida was recognized last year. I refused to work on that job until Governor DeSantis granted me immunity against lawsuit.
Did you hear that? The Champlain Towers? I guess that was in Surfside, Florida. Did you hear what he just said?
Is that the same thing as Surfside?
Well, let me look it up. But what he said was he refused to work on the towers unless Governor DeSantis guaranteed immunity.
Yeah.
What? That is such an admission when we were trying to figure out the 9/11 World Trade Center puzzle. That blew my mind. Now, really?
Well, all it's saying is your government is rotten to the core. It's been corrupt. It's been corrupt for a long time. And they've done this before. And they probably did it before 9/11. Look, the Oklahoma City Murrah building.
Okay, Surfside Condominium, those were the Champlain Towers.
Okay.
So he would not, I guess they called him in after to get rid of it. That's what he won awards for, you see. They called CDI later to finish the job. So can you see how this could work? Okay, so they were in on it the whole time. They pretend to do a bad job on it originally, because maybe they really wanted the towers down anyway.
Well, they claimed they were doing repairs.
Right, but maybe the whole objective was to get rid of them in the first place.
Right.
Now, were there people in there? Did people die? I have no idea, because no one's really studying this one. But say the objective was they wanted to bring them down, but CDI said, we're not doing it unless you give it immunity. So the way they came up with a way to get to that point was they just did a half demolition where the thing's sort of ready to fall. And then they go to the governor and say, we'll finish the job. You got to make sure. And that's how they did it.
And that means DeSantis is in on this crap as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mobbed up. It's really mobbed up. It's really dirty. It's really corrupt. But
anyway,
I'm not I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't already know.
Holly Galtieri says, does Lynn have her own channel anywhere? Well, she's mainly on Facebook still, I think. You're still on Facebook, right, Lynn?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really. I mean, people want me to start a channel. YouTube, maybe? YouTube would censor me. I don't know.
Let's start it on BitChute.
Yeah, BitChute's the place to go for now.
It's working
now. They say the 77th Brigade runs it, but who knows?
Well, there's a lot of stuff on there. I waste a lot of time on BitChute now.
Yeah, me too. It doesn't have a very good search engine, but it's gotten better. It's gotten a little bit better.
Yeah, you're right. The search engine is not that good, I know. So you really have to, it's not that easy to find stuff, but anyway, that was a pretty good show tonight. We've been going an hour and 10. I don't want to go over an hour for the most part because I can't get any other work done. So, Lynn, do you got any final comments? What's your, the email that we give out for Lynn is lynn@fakeologist.com. You get any emails?
Well, yeah, I do. I get some good questions. And also, I get into discussions with people in the forums and on the blog. And
That's right.
You know, there's a little bit of controversy over there.
What's going on
there? The idea that all the video from 9/11 is fake. Some people think that's
going
a bridge too far. You know, I guess I don't necessarily want to get into that sort of infighting.
Okay.
But I would say this: if we were going into court to pursue a criminal case for 9/11. We would introduce all the video and all the photos, and each individual item would have to be sourced, vetted, authenticated, and then rendered admissible as evidence in court. And I wouldn't hesitate to introduce that episode of PBS Frontline where Larry Silverstein says, pull it, and shows video of WTT7. You know, in a perfect controlled demolition. And if Simon Schack wants to file a friend of the court brief claiming that that evidence is inadmissible because it's fake video, well, then we'd have to source it. We'd have to see where did that video come from, who faked it and why, or they'd have to prove that it was real. But in either case, you've got a crime. You got a crime. And my response to people who says, oh, no, don't use any of the video or photographic evidence. Well, screw that. I'm going to use whatever supports our case for controlled demolition. And if people want to object to it and say, well, that's fake or that's been edited, that's been altered, then they'll have to do that. They'll have to challenge it as evidence in court. And this is the case with any video that's presented as evidence in court or should be. As you say, most of these trials are show trials. So this question of whether it's all fake or 99.9% of it's fake or half of it's fake, that's irrelevant to me. We would be presenting the evidence that shows a crime was committed. And then it's up to the people who are charged with that crime to show that the evidence is inadmissible and have it thrown out. And that in itself would be revealing. If we went through discovery on all this video material, and the discovery determined that it had been fabricated, that would be evidence. And we'd use that. A lot of it has been fabricated, and I'm not afraid to force that issue. So, you know, but then again, as you say, you don't ever expect to see these people brought to trial.
No.
I want to plant the seed of that idea in the minds of all the Americans who lived through 9/11. I want to try this in the court of public opinion first, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay, I found the thread on Fakeologist forums, fakeologist.com/forums2. The videos of WTC7, real evidence or fake? So yeah, you're right. It's a pretty good discussion over there. So thanks for getting that going. I appreciate that. That's Lynn.
Yeah, that was induced by one of your correspondents named Mark. I like his stuff. He's very critical. He doesn't have such a high opinion of September Clues.
You're talking about Boogeyman?
Is he the same as Boogeyman? Or
Mark Chase, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I think you almost got into the Discord on the weekend. I saw you try and get in there.
Yeah, I got to try to get in there. And I like all these people. You know, Dave J. I think Dave J's views are a little bit, I would say they were extremely skeptical when it comes to warfare.
Yes.
But the burden is on us, I think, to find out just what's real, you know, to get to what's real. You got to roll with the punches to get to what's real.
So Lynn is giving a shout out to Dave J. All right. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. All right, Lynn, thanks so much for getting into the studio before me. That was great. Everything, your new technology is working fantastic. So I'm glad, everyone's glad that you got in here. Dave J said there's never going to be a court case. I agree. And
but there might be a case in the court of public opinion, and who knows where that could lead. People might end up taking justice into their own hands. How do you all feel about that?
If only it were true, but I don't think so. All right, Lynn, thanks a lot. Tomorrow, Fake Nukes Phil will be back. He's got 100 more videos that I haven't even watched. I can't even keep up with Fake Nukes Phil and his production. And we'll take calls. I think he has a friend of his that might call in. So we can take calls for Fake Nukes Phil tomorrow. And don't forget, this is Value for Value. If you like this show, it's fakeologist.com/donate. A few people already have donated this year. Appreciate it. We had Loopy. She was on the audio chat for New Year's Eve. That was fantastic. A lovely lass from Ireland. She wrote me a really very lovely email, follow-up email to her donation. A lovely woman. She's just afraid of... She's a bit very guarded person, she said, and wasn't used to public speaking. So this was her debut. So she did a really good job. Really good to get females on the broadcast. So thanks to Loopy and Henrik Yu. And if you want to join this rather modest list, fakeologist.com/donate. It's just value for value. You pay what you think this show is worth. And Lynn, in her case, gives value by participating. And we really appreciate all her efforts. She's a long-time 9/11 researcher. So you got a brain like an encyclopedia. So thanks a lot, Lynn. Benton wants you to start a YouTube channel. You'd probably be better off on BitChute. Otherwise, you'd get frustrated. So there you go, Lynn. You got some fans out there, as you know.
Appreciate it very much.
All right. We'll see you next week. Take care, everybody. And see you tomorrow. Thanks, Lynn. We'll be right back.